Okay, you rolling.
They not filming it here yet? Oh, yeah.
You know what? We can. We just don't do it.
Yeah, it's not the place.
It's too... It's not lit properly. It's...
No, let them imagine where you are.
I kind of like that better.
The Comedy Store would like you to know that the views and opinions expressed on this podcast are strictly those of the speakers or authors and do not necessarily reflect or represent the views and opinions held by the Comedy Store and its affiliates.
Yeah, don't look at this. That's a trigger thing for Rick, because some idiot, like, open micer that does a podcast here put premises and made a paper lampshade, so it may or may not set on fire.
Oh, that's dope. I should sell one of those.
You should sell one of those?
I signed that. When I just signed the punchline, I signed a lampshade. Cloth. Everybody else signed the wall. And I did it again. They got a new lampshade now, a new club. I did it again.
You're kidding.
I hit it, though.
So you hit their lampshade instead of their wall?
Yep.
At any club?
The whole lampshade I did.
I love him. Guys, welcome to the World Famous Comedy Store podcast. We have the great Byron Bowers with us tonight.
Yeah. Whoa,
whoa. Rick is stuck in traffic, but he'll be here. Your outfit is amazing.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
By the way, your fashion sense is phenomenal. Pretty much all the time.
Nah, get out of here for
real. I'm serious. And it varies. It's like, I love your American flag jacket, even though my mother would have a heart attack. But she don't let you, we weren't allowed to wear the flag. You're not allowed to do that. She's a government lady. So she knows all the rules about the flags. Like, I think one time I had a bikini that was, oh, forget it.
Oh, for real?
Big trouble. Big trouble.
Now that's pushing it.
It is, but
my southern roots come out now. That's pushing it.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
There.
Where are you from in the South?
I was born in Athens, Georgia, small town, maybe 100,000. I mean, that's small, but the next city is Atlanta from there. So
this is Georgia week. We had Jerron Horton.
Oh yeah.
Last week. Also
a Georgia boy, yeah.
Yeah.
So, and it's different though when you even from a smaller town that you move to Atlanta.
Well, sure, because even though it's slow in the South, like you're in a small town, then you move to Atlanta, that's more of a metropolitan,
yeah.
And it's more fast-paced, yeah. So you're like, oh, wow, why are these people rushing?
So majority of my family, like 98%, still live in Athens, and they don't go to Atlanta. It's too dangerous and stuff for them.
Oh, my God, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Is Athens, like, not more rural? Is that how you say it? Rural? Suburban?
Yeah, I would say so. But it has its own city. It's a college town. Like,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. UGA was the first thing there in the late 1700s. That was the first thing in that town.
Wow.
And the city was built around
that.
And it was a Civil War weapons storage town for a while.
Shit.
And yeah, it's very interesting how people ended up there. And it's not as, to me, as racial as some of the other towns or places you've seen.
It's better
To me, because it's like it's still like a hippie.
Okay.
Yeah, in certain towns you got it's mixed, yeah, and you got other stuff people trip on, like the locals and the college students don't mix.
I see.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's one of those. It's separated by different stuff, you know. Even they didn't know I was from there, but when I would go visit there, they'd be like, "Hey, don't sleep with no locals. They're just trying to trap you." You know what I mean?
That's amazing.
And then you like, yeah, I understand. Because I know some locals there. They trying to get out too, you know?
Oh, my God. That's hilarious.
Yeah. So it's a very interesting town.
Now, did you start doing stand-up there?
No. I moved there from there when I was 6.
Shit. Okay. So.
Yeah, I say root. Like, I did shoot my first animal there. And, like, they give you guns when you're young.
Hold on. What animal? And what did
you shoot? It was a bird. I just trained on a BB gun. You know?
Okay. You shot a bird.
Shot a bird. And I watched it die and I was like, oh, this is weird. But
you didn't eat it, did you?
No, it was
just
like,
no,
you know what's dope? I caught this bird out the sky. So we supposed to be shooting cans. Yeah. So I had a talent, you know what I mean?
I mean, I've shot cans and stuff, but we would never shoot. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think I drew the line.
Maybe rats. I remember rats.
Yeah.
My dad used to let us shoot rats.
Nah. I mean, we had...
But it was just in the garbage, like, they were running.
Yeah, you're supposed to shoot them, though. Like deer, they stop my grandma
from
shooting deer.
It's South Philly. All the rats get shot.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like they just, you know, in Athens, those are the squirrels and stuff. They eat your pecans and stuff like that. So you're supposed
to eat your pecans.
Yeah,
you grow pecans.
Yeah, I mean it's a pecan tree, and like this, I'm saying this,
and they eat it.
Yeah.
Well, sure they.
This is a town where like
they like nuts.
This is my roots. Like no grocery store food. Everything came out the yard. All the wine came off the grapevine.
That's amazing.
All of it. I didn't know. You didn't know this is the type of life you had.
Oh.
You know, you built the birdhouse. You you fished on the weekend. You caught the fish. You had a little rod. You had a little Noreco fishing rod.
Noreco.
No, it's not Noreco, but
is
like
right?
Zelko or something. You okay. had a little fishing rod.
I'll take your word for it.
Yeah, when you was a kid. You know, when you five, they started training you on how to...
Catch fish,
and then they give you a BB gun. Like by the time you eight, and you start training, and then, you know, Granddad got like eight guns himself. You know, and he's shooting from the hip, rabbits, deer. You know what I mean? Bring that home, cut it up, and they gave it to the neighbors, and they trade for like beans and squash and all this other stuff. So
what? Okay, Rick's here. Thank you. I'm sorry.
I'm
it was traffic and nightmare.
It wasn't pleasant through
no,
the
it
Woodland
gets worse.
Hills area.
Yeah.
Wow, yeah.
So,
some real fools out there.
There really are, and the Ubers make it worse.
Oh, man.
No say?
I don't like riding in Ubers. To me, they can't drive.
Wait, can I ask a question about trading food? Like, in my neighborhood as a kid, I might be a little older than you, like the 80s I grew up, we would borrow sugar, but we would never be like, hey, I killed this raccoon, can I trade it for some beans?
Well, the thing is, like, this is a town where people they were farmers or they was the help. You
That's
know
amazing.
What I mean? So
Athens.
Yeah, okay. like your food and your doctor and all that came like in the house.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? My grandma raised white kids, which I didn't know until she was like 80.
Oh my God.
Yeah, they moved to Philly and my grandma was the first to fly because they flew her out. Because they would consider family, you know?
Yeah, of course.
So, yeah, man, if you fish on a Saturday and you catching like 20-something fish, you have leftovers, right?
Yeah. Not
so,
in my house, but yeah.
Well, yeah, you would,
I got nine
you would
brothers
cook and clean. Yeah, you would clean. We would clean them out that day. That was the food.
Yeah.
You clean them, you fry them that day outside, and with bread and mustard. You know what I mean? And then the access.
Is this something you would do too, Rick, in Kansas?
No, I'm from the suburbs.
Oh, my fault.
Yeah.
So is this kind of, well.
No. It's a little further out. But this is the suburbs of Athens.
That's what he's saying.
Yeah. This is like, you could walk to the hospital. You could walk downtown. But my grandfather was a farmer. They country.
Right.
So they brought that to their city. You know what I mean?
I love it.
And like less than an acre of land. They would grow these beans and squash and watermelon. He had hunting dogs. He had chickens because he was a chicken hauler.
Wow.
So that I'm saying the eggs, you go in the morning, you get your eggs. That's the eggs you would eat. And like all this stuff that I didn't know. And then I moved with my mom. And you eating corn out of a can. It got this interesting taste. It's watery and all this other stuff. And then, you know, I stopped eating vegetables since. You know what I mean?
You're kidding. Like,
really?
Unless
yeah.
you grow your own, you mean?
Well, I mean, it's just different. It's different.
My wife's a vegetarian and she... When I found out I had diabetes, they were like, you got to eat a lot more vegetables and you got to eat healthier and stuff. And I was just like, well, I guess I'm going to die because I don't eat vegetables. And she was like, what vegetables do you like? I'm like, I don't know. She's like, you got to know at least one vegetable. I'm like, not really. I mean, whatever the stuff is that Panda Express puts in the Kung Pao chicken. And she was like, what? And I'm like, I don't know what it is, but I'll eat that. So then we had to look it up, and she's like, zucchini? I'm like, yeah, I guess. I don't know. And she's like,
God.
She goes, how do you not like vegetables? And I go, because growing up, it was always like green beans out of a can and other nasty shit just tasted terrible.
School food?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Awful.
But yeah, my girl helped me out because she's from the Middle East.
Okay.
And their diet, you know, somebody explained, they don't have the stuff in their food that we have, the preservatives.
Yeah.
So it's more fresh. So when I'm at the house and like she makes salad with eggs, which is just a healthier thing, but it salad sounds weird with eggs.
Mm-hmm.
But the way she makes it, it's just good. And then I went to where she's from, and that's like that's food. And I'm like, oh,
right.
You cook. you cook like they cook, like the chefs
nice.
Cook. And it's like, oh, this ain't bad, but it's straight vegetables. Like meat, I don't know if I would trust it with, but.
Yeah.
I agree, 100%.
I don't trust it with meat, you know what I mean? But the veggie stuff, you know, that she pretty cool with it, you know?
Yeah.
Do you eat meat?
Of course. I mostly eat meat.
I gotta ask questions.
I mostly eat meat.
So many people, because if you grew up eating health, not healthy like that, but more organic. I guess that would be healthier because you eat what you grow or catch.
Well,
that's a normal thing.
Well, it's not even considered organic.
Yeah.
That's just food. Real. That's just what they call food back then. When I hear organic, I'm like, oh, this is something like, they still made.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's still chemicals on this. Right?
Definitely.
So you won't get this. I don't think you will get that same taste as if you nurture it yourself.
Because
there's so much stuff you could control once you learn how to grow your food.
Yeah, well, I grew up in cement, so we can't grow. It was like
I guarantee there's hipsters now.
My sister,
in your part of Philly, they're growing, have a garden on their rooftop or some bullshit.
Oh yeah, they try that. Yeah, they do it. It's always funny. And then they're like, that goddamn squirrel.
Put the grow boxes.
Like, why does like weed? 3 feet why does weed smoke funny? What the fuck wrong with
my
this
sister?
Weed?
Grows a lot of stuff now, like tomatoes and stuff. But she lives in the suburbs, so that's. You know what? And so you moved out of Athens when you were six,
yeah,
and then to Atlanta.
To Atlanta, where the guns changed, they became handguns.
Mm-hmm.
People just pull them out while people running, fire them and shit.
Holy shit!
Well, they were BBs. They still were BB guns.
Yeah,
we were still young. But they
CO2s. Is that what they are? Yeah. My dad shoots blackbirds. No offense with them. I don't know why, but just he curses at the blackbirds, and I'm like, why blackbirds? And he's like, they steal the food from the little brown ones. And I'm like, all right.
Oh, so it's
you're starting a race war. In the sky.
Bird. Right.
Good for you, buddy.
Avian racism,
yes.
Finally.
But he does with the rifle. The CO, I think it's called
yeah,
the
CO2. Yeah. They call it air rifle or the, mm-hmm. the pump.
It's power.
Pump.
Yeah, it's got power behind it.
I remember my friend. So there are country people in the suburbs, I guess, where I'm from. But my friend Brandon's dad kept a cocked BB gun by the back door in their living room, and I was always like, what's that for? And he was like, well, in case there's possums. And I'm just like, I just thought it was something he'd say.
Look.
And then one day he was like, Brandon, there's a possum. And he ran over, grabbed the gun, opened the back door, and shot the possum that was on the running across the fence.
That's what they do.
Was he trying to get in, or were they trying to get dinner?
No, he just doesn't like possums.
Oh.
And so he shoots it, and then he runs out. I'm like, is it dead? And he's like, Brandon's like, no, man, it's a BB gun. And so then his dad, Big Lair, Larry, he shot it. It's a possum, so it's playing dead. It's like freaked out, its defense mechanism is to act like it's dead. And then I'm just sitting there watching, like, oh, it's so weird. It's laying on its back and just in the grass in the backyard. Neighbors looking over, like, why is he shooting an air rifle? And then Larry just grabs the bat by the deck and runs out and just smashes it. And I'm just like, holy shit.
That was bad when you play dead right there.
Yeah.
Oh, you playing dead?
Yeah.
Time
to run.
I don't blame them, though, man, because it's something about possums. They got a look on their face that's like real.
Yeah, they're suspect.
Yeah,
creatures.
They got real. It's like they wearing a criminal mask or some shit. And their teeth, they always like.
Super rats. Yeah.
Like
that's
ran
what
up
I always
on
call
yeah.
them.
Yeah, my apartment downtown, like, they always on that fence. They always creeping on the fence post, and they just walking along the fence, but then they looking at you like.
Yeah.
But what do? Do they bother people? Like,
they look like they, it don't matter, you know.
They'll go through your trash.
We're Americans.
Shit.
You got to look. If you look suspicious, we'll fucking
that's
kill
right.
you. And we'll let the Lord, this
that's
is a southern
right.
thing, we let the Lord sort it out.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I never. I've never seen a possum that didn't look like it needed to die.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's
I agree.
If that's
it's a weird noise like that. And they just, they chill.
Yeah.
But it looked like Beetlejuice when he stretched his face out.
Yeah. No, they're fucked up looking creatures.
But for this guy to hit it with a bat, it just shows you the type of man that is. Because I would be nervous.
That
the possum would like
freak
get
out.
Up
yeah.
and then be like,
yeah, go
got your ass.
Yeah.
Yeah. That happened to me with a roach. I stepped on a roach. I went and got a napkin. I came back and he was gone. But before I stepped on it, I watched it for a little while. And like, you don't even know who you fucking with. And I talked shit like, motherfucker, I'm God. I did all this shit right. And then I stepped on it, went and got a napkin. And I came back and the motherfucker was gone. And I was scared because I had to sleep there. And I was like, this motherfucker going to come get me in my sleep.
Yep.
I don't know what makes you think
they hold grudges like that? Because
they might.
I've stayed up all night from a spider that I lost that I thought I killed, like things like that. So. Yeah.
I was trimming weed in this shitty like warehouse downtown.
Weed.
Yeah, marijuana.
Okay.
I was making marijuana presentable so that
there you go.
The grower could sell it to a pharmacy and whatever happened. So this is a dude that Pete C introduced me to, some guy from Ohio, super hippie dude.
Okay.
And so it's like me, obviously just a degenerate, and then all these like hippie people. There's like three or four of us trimming weed in this little room. And it's downtown, so there's like all sorts of gross roaches running around, like super roaches where you know, they've got wings and they're super crunchy. And so I saw one.
Skid Row roaches.
Yeah.
Yeah, Skid Row roaches.
Truly. So I saw one.
They're like high.
And this warehouse is like down in that part of downtown, just south of downtown, where there's like just a storefront that sells nothing but just like 900 pineapples and shit.
Oh, yeah, definitely. No, that's near me.
Yeah. So
near Pico and shit.
And so this giant roach runs by. I was just like, damn, that's crazy how big that roach is. And then one of the other people were like, leave it alone. I'm like, oh, I'm not going to step on it. That thing's huge. What if I don't kill it? And it runs away. And then like 20 minutes later, I'm sitting there trimming. And next thing you know, I'm like, what the fuck? And I look down and the roach was running straight up my leg.
I
swatted it off. Shit. And then I just smashed the shit out of it. And then all I hear is, why did you kill it?
Oh, man.
This girl, this hippie girl, and I go, because it was climbing up my leg. She was like, you're in his territory. I go, we're inside a warehouse. He didn't build this shit.
Yeah.
That motherfucker was ready to die. The moment it was like, I'm going to run up Rick.
Shit.
Time to run up Rick. It was him being like, it's time for me to die.
Yeah, that was him pushing you. Like, he hit you first.
Yeah, exactly right.
You had to hit back. That's gross.
And in his territory.
Yeah, I'm like, what are you talking about?
And you know what's funny? I'm thinking about the streets now, like, oh, shit, is that roach territory? Because I know the Crips are a little south of that.
Yeah. The roaches. They're very territorial, apparently.
What set do the roaches run?
I don't know.
There's no way the roaches run their own set.
What if they was really running heroin that whole time?
Some of them are big enough, like, to carry.
Yeah, you could mule.
A little backpack, put a little backpack on them.
A little 20 bag. This thing was big enough, it could carry a 20 bag underneath it. I wouldn't have noticed.
There you go.
Some people just got caught downtown in that Fashion District area, excuse me, laundering money. Like $20 and $80 million.
The whole country launders money.
And I was like, oh, all them cheap ass sweatshirts. I was like, why are them sweatshirts so cheap? These motherfuckers got $80 million. They try to sell me fake Converse for $20.
That's how they got it.
It's funny how you get offended by little shit like that. Get their ass out of here.
Oh yeah. Do you watch Ozark?
Oh, it's been a while. Oh, not since the first three episodes.
It's good though. Do you watch it?
I saw
Netflix?
The first season. Yeah. I haven't watched season two yet.
It's just weird to see, but how people do launder money and what kind of businesses they go through and shit like that. And I mean, growing up, people would say, "Oh, that's a mob front," you know, and that they wash money through it. And yeah. I'd be like, "Oh, all right."
Yeah.
But those were usually like cool places. These places are like shit houses that they just take over, like you're saying, downtown. Like, that's fun.
Man, yeah, you never know. It's like, and then I think the shocking part to me is like the amount.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That whole time. And they sent it straight to another country. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? And it's like, oh, like it was a Nigerian dude in Georgia in the South and through Texas and like New Orleans. They say he had a perfect white voice. Right, he had the perfect white voice, so he would call. He would find properties, and he would call and take out the equity on the house.
Holy shit!
He would pretend to be the person that lived there. He would get all the equity money, and then they would send it overseas, and it would hit like 16 banks, and they'd come back. And they said he was making like $50,000 a month or something doing this.
Oh my God, that's the same guy who's saying, "Claim your money, I got it."
No,
Nigeria,
the prince.
Yeah. No, this guy, the feds went after him. They caught his team, but he got away. He fled.
Oh man,
he's gone, man.
Perfect white voice.
Man, if you have the perfect white voice.
This is, hi, this is Kenny.
Hi, Kenny. How you doing?
I'm all right. Listen, I wanted to take a, I don't know if I can take a,
what are those things they're always selling?
The second mortgage,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh. Reverse mortgage. I'm looking to get a reverse mortgage.
Wow, you sure you want to do that, Kenny? I mean, you got, like, this house has got over $800,000.
I saw Tom Selleck just now in the commercial, and it makes sense what he's saying. I trust Tom, always have.
Oh, okay. Okay, well, we're going to give it to you at this rate.
Is it weird that my white voice...
is whiter than your regular voice? I like it.
I think I just feel like I know when he said white voice, I knew what you meant.
Yeah,
like,
that's funny because I don't really have one.
But how do you do it over the phone? Like, I can't get an extra extended credit line. I don't know.
I can't get a regular credit line.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Try to get a credit card.
That's because you don't. I talk about it on stage.
I found this out. I checked my credit. I went to Credit Karma. The true shit. And
you got bad karma.
I have American Express on my credit, and it's been there for 2 years. And I was like, oh shit, because I've been paying cash for everything. Because I was like, I'm trying to save my credit for me. But a credit card popped up on it, and I was like, damn, this is fucked up. And I started. It was on Equifax. And I was going to write Equifax, but then I looked at my other two scores, and I was like, oh, this motherfucker bumped my shit up.
Yes, definitely.
100 points.
But you don't use the card?
And I don't got the card. That's what I'm saying. Somebody else got a card.
Identity
my name
fraud.
On it. But it's what they've been paying it every month. So it's his score is better than my score. So I tried to get a credit card because I'm like, I'm going to try to use his shit to help me.
There you go.
And they denied me. And I was like, man, I got to find this nigga and ask him to get a card for me like he did for himself. You know what I mean?
Some people are so good at paperwork and talking on the phone. Like, they can make that happen.
That's what somebody was telling me. It's like, you're not good in the room.
I'm terrible.
I'm like, man, he made it happen, man. And it's so hurt. Getting denied, especially when somebody already got through on you. It's like, wow.
I'm like, damn.
How did they know? You know what I mean?
He got it with all your shit, and you can't get it with
I got
your
the white
shit.
Name and everything. You know what I mean? I got the European Celtic Welsh name.
That is it.
It's gotten me far. It's gotten me far.
It gets you in the door.
It gets me straight, definitely in the door.
I got good credit. Anyone will give me a credit card, but
really?
I don't trust them.
Good for you.
I used to have to.
I don't have good credit.
Back when I was in my Comedy Store doorman days and working in restaurants and stuff, I was only surviving because of credit cards.
Yeah.
And they kept, and I would pay it off pretty quick originally, and that like, they just kept raising the amount I had. To eventually, I racked up, you know, $8,000-$9,000 in credit card debt, and I'm just paying off minimums and just keeps going up.
Son of a bitch.
Yeah,
I paid it off eventually.
White people problems.
Must be nice.
Yeah.
Man, they just kept fucking raising the limit.
I didn't understand.
Next thing I know, shit.
I'm like 23, and they're like,
I got $10,000 in credit line. I'm like, what the fuck am I supposed to do with this?
Yeah, that's what they called me, and they were like, at one point it was like 14. I'm like, 14? What? Why? I just didn't get it.
Oh,
I was like 24 years old.
Yeah, when I was 25.
Oh, when you're young, you can get it.
I was 25, I met a white dude. He was like, I can go in the bank right now and get $1 million off my name.
For real?
That's what his shit was. And I was like, just somebody just gonna give you $1 million. He was like, yeah, if I wanted to, but I'm not. And I was like, that's why you could do it. Can you imagine walking in and just give you $1 million off your name?
No, no one would do that. I would be hogtied and thrown in a jail cell to think about what I was trying to do.
I'm trying to think about pre-financial crash, like 2008,
yeah.
Before that, I could see it happening.
Now you're saying,
Oh shit!
There's more checks and balances now.
I could have got a credit card in 2008, fucked it up, and my shit would be gone right now.
I like that. That's what you're thinking.
See, this how niggas think.
Yeah.
This how poor people think.
I need to go back.
Man, I could fuck it up, and I could be in 10 years. I could be straight again.
That's hilarious.
I could be in the race. That's the power of living a while. you could fuck your shit up in your 20s, and then in your 30s, it could be gone.
Yeah. I've definitely fucked up in my 20s. In my 30s, it was still there. Then I got rid of it a little bit, and then I brought it back.
I mean, yeah, I'm on my third time. It's all good. That's what life's about, I guess.
A roller coaster? Yeah. And as a comic...
I'm going big this time, though.
Yeah. But you make money now.
No, I don't make
a little bit,
money.
No?
No, I don't think so.
I don't think so. No, but you work a lot.
My lifestyle is changing, though. I got a girlfriend now. Oh, I got enough. Yeah. I make enough to have a girlfriend to tell me I don't make enough. And that's privilege right there.
Yeah. Girls will take your money. Yeah.
Oh, so no. My girl make... I got to make money to keep up with her.
Oh, okay.
Yep. Yeah. My girl make more money. My girl's a director, so...
She's beautiful.
Our checks don't match. Mm-hmm. And that hurts my ego. And she like, baby, it's going to take a while. She doing all that shit women's supposed to do. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, hell no. You know what I mean? You know. Hell no.
Yeah, you know? I mean, Corinne makes way more than I do, for sure. Yeah.
But this is the new... Yeah. This is like, that's the new thing.
Yeah.
I used to see it happen a lot in Georgia when women talk about dudes. Like, niggas ain't shit. They out here going to jail, doing all this. And I'm like, I ain't in jail. They're like, I might as well be in jail. You know what I mean?
At least in jail.
Jail, they got an excuse.
Yeah.
Like, when you out and you ain't...
Doing anything, making anything.
Look, I know a dude in jail with a cell phone, and he crushing it.
Oh, yeah.
He got a lot of money on the streets. Oh, maneuvering. Yeah.
They're still moving shit.
And I'm like, it's a certain type of person. I'm like, not that person.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Is he funny, though? Because that's the real... currency in life.
I mean, he wore Tom Ford's to his trial. He wore Tom Ford's to a trial being accused of being a drug dealer. So I think that was funny.
I think that's hilarious. That is funny.
I'm like, why would you do that? Why would you go in like, no, not guilty? Y'all, I'm just a common man with $1,000 shoes on.
It's important.
He just wanted to dress nice.
But I guess he figured, you know, he knew something we didn't know, which was... This is probably going to be his last time wearing the shoes. He got them for the trial, though.
Yeah, of course. Smart. Of course he did. And he'll get them when he gets out.
Yeah, it's true.
He's moving shit. It's crazy how people have cell phones in jail and move shit still. It's crazy to me.
Man.
I've seen some too much shit. He'll come out. He'll start doing comedy. And then...
He won't do comedy.
No?
Nah.
When did you start doing comedy?
I started in, I remember like 2005.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I decided, I started comedy and I quit because I was still going to school and I was like, I can't do both. But hitting the stage made me realize this is what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I need to get out of this thing.
Where did you go to school?
Engineering school, like Southern Polytechnic State University.
Okay.
Sound like a church, but it's really a college. It's long as hell, you know what I mean? It's a good
Southern
school.
Southern Poly? Is that what they call
Southern
it?
Southern Poly. We call it SPSU. SPSU.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's one of the top five schools.
And you were going to be an engineer?
I mean, I was going for engineering. I really was. Like, I was rapping and doing all type of stuff in there. I was hustling a little bit by the time I got there. I was just trying to like find my way in the world, you know?
Yeah.
You don't hear a lot of, I'm either going to rap or be an engineer. You don't hear that enough.
Weigh that option.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wanted to go to art school, but my mom was like, that costs too much. And I don't even know why I even thought that her opinion mattered because she was poor. So I decided to go to engineering school. And then I moved out here and I met Yaza Lester.
A comedian, Yasha.
Also from Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, man, I wanted to go to Savannah College of Art and Design, which is a great art school.
Yeah.
But I was like, they cost too goddamn much.
I know a bunch of people that wanted to go there. Actually, my friend Brandon, whose dad beat the possum to death, that's where he wanted to go. And his dad was like, what are you, gay? I'm not sending you to art school.
Man, that school was a lot. That school cost a lot. And then...
It was like, ridiculous.
Was like, he was like, they let niggas in for free. And I was like, what? Oh, my heart fell. And he was like, yeah. He's like, I ain't even want to go to school. And I'm walking down the hall in career day, and somebody was like, hey, you want to go to art school? They let black people in for free. And he was like, yeah. He's like, so I went for a semester, and I dropped out. And I was like, you motherfucker.
You didn't know? I mean, wait, let me rephrase that. Why did they let black people in for free?
Because it's a part of diversity program.
Yeah, you got to get the numbers up.
But not just black people, people of color. Like, if you're Mexican or anything?
I mean, when you're black, they don't really go into all the other stuff.
You're stupid.
They don't really.
I hate you.
They don't break up Asians and all this. They specifically talking to you.
I'm thinking, wait, maybe they want.
Yeah.
But you're like, no, they just want black people. All right.
I mean, that's what he said, yeah. Because the person who pulled him to the side, because the way he said it, he was like, man, ain't fucking with college. And they was like,
you want to go to college?
You know, he let niggas in for free. You know, like a runaway slave was the recruiter.
Jesus.
It's probably how slavery started.
That's terrible. Do you think that's how it is?
Yeah, like, you know what I mean?
You want to do some yard work?
Yeah, you like grass. What? We got grass here. It only comes like once a month after the dry season. Oh yeah, I know a place where it's grass every day of the year. What I gotta do?
Gotta
get on this boat. Meet me here tomorrow at 3:30.
Tricked everyone.
Terrifying.
Look at Rick trying not to listen to this. You like? I was in his office the other day, and they had a police chase.
Okay.
Right here.
They love to watch those.
People watched it,
like,
but then
crazy.
The cops got the guys out of the car, and they took like 5 minutes to get them on the ground. And they were like white dudes, and I was like, and they took their time to get on the ground.
Oh,
like, their knees were bad and stuff. And as a black man, I'm watching this, I'm like, man, they would have been unshot these niggas by now. And everybody in the office just like whistling and shit, And they pulled them over at a Ralph's, right?
At a Ralph's.
And they, the guns on them and stuff, the helicopter's over. And I was like, man, I feel sorry for that black dude who walk out with some bread in his hand right now. And they like, shoot him. You know what I mean? He just got some.
He wasn't in the car.
He bread didn't even get the good everywhere. Bread. You know what I mean? That's why I just get the good bread. Yeah. I'll be taking them to every time a nigga gets shot by the cops, I go to McDonald's. And then when it don't happen, I'm like, I got to get my diet right. Because you get older, you know, like stuff running the family. You got diabetes and all this. And like, I got to get my diet right. And as soon as somebody gets shot by the cops, I'm like, man, I'm going to McDonald's.
You might as well.
This could be my last, you know what I mean?
This could be my last ride.
Stuff in my face, fries.
Why am I eating sprouted whole grain bread?
Yeah.
I might just die tomorrow because of just nothing.
Nothing. You know what I mean? And my abs ain't strong enough to take the bullets.
I can't with you.
No matter how much weight I lift, you know what I mean? It ain't going to stop this, you know, so.
We got to get some of those backpacks that the kids are wearing, the bulletproof backpacks that kids have to wear to school now. Did you see
those? Is that bad?
Mm-hmm.
But it's on their back.
People
shooting them in their chest.
That's what I'm thinking. Like, what do they flip it around? Isn't there a backpack that flips around?
In Georgia, teachers could carry. There's a thing passed where teachers are going to be allowed to carry guns now, which is the worst.
It's got to be. I got to be honest. If teachers were carrying when I was a kid, I would have been killed in probably second grade.
Dead
as a door now.
Wow.
Miss Calvecchio.
Or your grades would have been a hell of a lot better.
No.
What?
No.
It would have motivated Eleanor.
It's not a motivator for me. It gets me angry. If you threaten me.
You'd be like, what's 4 times 4? You like 16? But with a pistol in your face, you got to learn math fast. You know what I mean?
Hey.
Can you imagine the spelling bees with the guns out? The teacher's like, spell certificates. And the guy's like, certificates. Can you use it in the... Okay, never mind. Certificates. You know, just spitting this shit out. That's the education we need.
You think
but
so?
But what do I know? I'm from Georgia. You know what I mean? I'm from the place that's voted to carry guns.
Well, no, I mean, Pennsylvania has crazy laws. My dad was a Marine. He has shot me with blanks at close range quite a few times. Threatened me with guns. Like, I don't know. I would, as a teacher, though, I feel like they would just shoot me because I could get very angry.
I believe it.
That's terrible, but it's true.
I believe it.
So yeah, I would probably do something to get myself.
Teachers are allowed to carry guns.
Oh, yeah, probably.
Everyone is.
Ooh, especially teenagers. You know how many period shootings it's going to be?
Yeah.
Like a chick start her first period and her hormones going crazy and the teacher.
She's
first
talking shit.
The first period.
Teachers don't
is the first
do
period
it?
Worse? It's got to be. I don't know, but you're right.
It comes out of nowhere.
Yeah.
I grew up with a sister.
She's sitting there all of a sudden. You're like, boy, she looks angry as fuck.
Well, I mean, you just get weird shit on the
tomorrow.
toilet seats. You're like, what the fuck is this? After y'all fist fight and there's blood on the toilet seats. I'm like, oh, shit. Did I do this?
Dude, I saw there was a guy I went to high school.
I don't know if I'm telling the truth. You know what I mean? Well, because, that shit is weird when you first.
Well, when you're a kid, it's funny because you see a 12-year-old or sometimes 11-year-old girl, and she just all of a sudden starts getting angry. So yeah. The buildup to the first period is probably the worst. Now that you're right. You're probably right.
But with dudes, man, I remember my homeboy. At one point, dudes, we were all hanging out. We had this brotherhood. And then the next, they would just turn to you and just beat the fuck out of you. And he's like, what the fuck going on? And then you realize, like, oh, it's a chick standing somewhere nearby.
Oh.
And they just trying to prove they tough for the chick. But it happens around the same age when dudes started to, like, develop themselves and get this thing where they just become, like, shady or whatever amongst one another. Yeah.
Girls are in heat and the guys are just, like,
punching each other.
Yeah, we need to prove dominance.
Yeah.
I'm the alpha. Well, there's Byron. He doesn't seem alpha yet.
Nah, wasn't for a long time.
Yeah, he's not a fighter.
I'm waiting to sprout alpha any day. I'm going to walk up and just punch Brett Ernst just to prove.
Man, that's going to be interesting. He's going to breakdance fight you.
Nothing worse than getting served twice, both dancing and beat down.
Them are going to beat your ass and then do a pop lock run.
They're going to do breaking eight, I think, is the number they're up to.
Breaking.
That's hilarious. Brent, the type of guy that has like a black friend and teaches him about how to be black. He teaches him hip hop. Remember this when this shit came out? And he's like, oh shit, I do remember. And he's like, this is what was going on in my neck of the woods.
It's crazy.
It's just an interesting level. You know what I mean?
But you didn't grow up fighting. We were kind of talking about that a little bit before.
Kind of, man. It was like my dad's side, it was four boys.
Mm-hmm.
And we all did our thing, but it's different. It's different being uprooted and going to a city and you the little nigga with bright colors on.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? In the city. Like with these yellows, with these... Shit your mom would dress you in with these dress shoes. Mom always put me in dress shoes.
That's why your fashion is so insanely great.
So, and then they just, the streets. And mind you, like, before drugs and all this shit kicked in, like, my dad was pretty much middle class.
Okay.
So I took an economic fall.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Also.
That's got
to
be hard.
I went to a private preschool. And all these things, my mom, she put me in because she said I was smart. And then I took an economic fall. And everything I learned, they would say you got book sense but no common sense. So the streets people just came in and just gave me that other side of that education that is hard to get rid of. Now that I'm in Los Feliz and I'm out, it slowly started to drain. Like, what the fuck was I doing this whole time? Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's weird to shake that your thought process. It's some things just so ingrained in you that it affects how you survive when you're even around people when it kicks in, you know. And, you know, I was a student athlete, so I was I got bused to school and tested out my class. So I would be in class with, like, white people, and then after school I'd be with all the athletes. And then I would go home to, like...
Is athletes code for black people?
Well, I mean, at my school,
the way you said it, like, white people were here.
Yeah, that's true.
And then we were with the athletes.
Yeah, because it was only two people on the team. Politically, only two white people was on the team.
Well, diversity. You have to have them.
Yeah, that's what it was. We let y'all
and
in all over here.
Everybody needs a quarterback.
Yeah, well, this is basketball. Yeah, but the quarterbacks were white, though.
Yeah.
The quarterbacks were white, and not only were they white, they were brothers. So when this one left, the other one came in. I'm like, oh, this is, and they like, yeah, you can't touch them. You can't, you can't hit them at practice.
Yeah.
No. Like, damn. You know, so you learn a lot about the
sports. It's always brothers,
sports,
by the way.
Politics, yeah.
In my school, the quarterbacks, yeah, it was Klein was the quarterback. And then once he left school, Mike Klein became the quarterback. And then after that, this kid, Joshua Heideman, became the quarterback. And then when he graduated, Noah Heideman became the quarterback.
You're like, whoa.
That's believable.
That's weird.
Essentially, there's a very few families whose dads know how to teach their sons how to properly throw a football.
Oh, interesting.
Well, my homeboy went to a black school, middle class black school. And this guy, Brandon Phillips, who played baseball well, right? He played well. His dad, like, this is what you focus on.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Baseball. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, openly said that shit. Like, I don't give a fuck about because he was an athlete himself who played baseball. His wife played basketball for the Olympic team.
Oh, wow.
This is the fuck. He told the coach, this what the fuck I do. I know how to breathe. He had a Brandon Phillips' older brother played professional baseball, and Brandon ended up playing professional baseball.
Yeah, I was gonna say, wasn't he like a second baseman for the Reds or something?
He played for the Reds, yeah. And his younger brother, which was good, could go basketball and baseball. And then his youngest sister was a basketball star up and coming. That's what the dad was like, it's in my genes.
That's right.
So, yeah, it makes sense when you talk about the quarterback football family, because the dad got them reading plays.
Yeah.
Like when the sun go down and everybody else having a good time, these guys in the back with the setup, just throwing back and forth.
Get through the tires and all that shit.
Oh, yeah.
Perfect spirals.
Knowing plays. When you look at a playbook.
And you know what you're looking at.
People talk about how dumb they are. You think it's a playbook with a bunch of X's and O's in it with lines that go every fucking where. I could look at car schematics. Mm-hmm. It looked like an NFL playbook when you think about it. And these guys know a stack of it by heart.
Yeah.
To when they say a number, everybody got to know as a team.
Mm-hmm.
11 people got to know, all right, this is where I'm going.
Yeah.
And if he called, he switched numbers. It was XOXX, but now it's XOXXY. And they're like, oh, okay, we're doing Y route. And then they just do this, and then they know it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, it's like, oh, these guys ain't as whatever
dumb,
as people think.
Dumb jocks, if you will. Yeah. Yeah. Dumb jocks is just because they were ego idiots, is what they were.
I mean, there are some. At a certain point, it does get different. Because, I mean, like, what was it? The dude, played quarterback for the Raiders, Jamarcus Russell.
Oh.
Yeah.
And everyone is just like, he's so dumb. And they're like, yeah, but he's been pretty awesome. And then he got to the NFL, and it was like, yeah, listen, we have 300 plays now. And he was able to learn like four of them. But when he played at LSU, it was just like, this dude was such an amazing athlete. He didn't have to worry about that shit.
Well, yeah, I was just, sometimes the talent take over. They like, all right, we finna redo the whole playbook.
Yeah.
But I learned, like, I had a partial basketball scholarship.
That's amazing.
Yep, and sold crack at the same time. So
okay.
Let's just show you where that was.
You know, they don't pay you. They just give you an education and a place to
play. I didn't
know,
because like, I was the first to go to college, and it was a rude awakening.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
They pump you like you could be the first, but nobody ever went. They don't tell you how, if you thought high school was challenging or if it wasn't challenging, this college thing politically and socioeconomically is going to be a different ball game. That was the first time I almost wanted to commit suicide in that thing.
Oh, Jesus. Just dealing with all that pressure.
Yeah. And then I was uprooted and sent to an even smaller school and having to deal with politics of like even team politics.
Yeah. It's the worst.
Yeah. And like it became a job and like all this other stuff. And I'm like the pressure of you failing, in which I was, is like crazy.
Because you feel like you're letting your team down, your family down, yourself down.
You got the team. Like, I led, like, a triple life. I would leave. Like, this is a private school. And then at night, I would be in the hood trapping. You know what I mean? Or, it's different lifestyle.
It's
then, and then you got people you would hang out with. And then, like, we was hanging out one day. And I was hanging out with some friends, the college friends, like white people. They like, trying to get high, you know, regular weed and shit. And we ended up in some projects. I fell asleep in the car. We ended up in some projects. And they never been in the projects before, but I knew. And, like, the guns came out that night.
Yeah.
And then I found out that those people were people that I kind of knew who worked under me. But they didn't. They kind of knew, but they didn't know. So it's like, oh, this is where these worlds cross.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's like.
And you were in a car with just white guys?
That's so it was like
frightening.
People that's. Yeah, and we in Virginia, so
those are targets.
My first time seeing a plantation, I was in the car with like four white people, and not only that, this is a plantation where the slaves revolted.
I'm not sure which one's scarier.
Well, here's the thing. They revolted, and it was a massacre, but you could feel it, right? You could feel it, and they telling you this whole history,
it's tense
in the car for me. Not because I'm in the car with white people at the time, but it's just tense. You could feel like your ancestors and shit. And then we turn down a tunnel because they like, man, that's just so long ago, but that's just the history of this place. And we turn down a tunnel, and as the lights hit the tunnel, it's like, niggas suck white man dick, KKK in the tunnel. Oh. And I'm like, oh, shit. If we get caught, if the police pull us over, I'm gone. It's just automatic.
Terrifying.
Yeah, this is the South. This is the real South right now. So
the
it's
dirty
like,
South, if you will.
It's like, that was tense. And then it's the other thing, the opposite, with the same people in the hood.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, that's a
it's
weird.
It's very, like, so, and then to not, to be offered to take over this town as an 18-year-old, quote-unquote nerd, so to speak, because I avoided this my whole time in Atlanta, and then to get offered to take over this town.
That's insane.
Right? But luckily, I was aware. I saw some stuff that made me be like, nah, and I started to get angry. Like, as a youth, I started to have that young black anger, that, like, the way you would solve problems is very not in a good way, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? And I was just like, oh, this could end wrong. Like, you certain lines you cross, it's like, there's no coming certainly. Back from these lines. So I had to, like, remove myself from that whole situation and come back home. But it was a depressing time to that's not sell terrible. Drugs anymore because you become...
You, well, because you get a...
you get a rush.
What's the word I'm thinking? Accustomed like a, to yeah. the money.
It ain't the money. It's
the lifestyle.
The life,
everything.
The rush. You the
yeah.
man.
Power, yeah.
You the man, you know what I mean?
Right. Everybody's...
I could equate it to like being bullied and before I played basketball. And once I played basketball, once I joined the team and I had a growth spurt, and it's like I became a bully in myself. That's it's like crossing those yeah. lines. And it's like, oh, I'm never going back. You know
yeah.
what I mean?
Yeah. Why get bullied when you can just be the bully? Beat the monster by being the monster.
Because I always did my own thing. And then one day, like, my best friend Black was always like, hey, man, why?
That was his name?
That's his name.
Black?
Okay.
Black liked to fight. You know, he liked to love. That's why we ended up in the same school. He got kicked out of his school for some reason. I got kicked out of my school for some reasons. But different, totally different reasons. But he liked to fight. You know what I mean? That was his thing. But he was like, man, you can't let these people fuck with you like that. You know, they only fuck with you because you by yourself. Nobody got your back. He's like, but if anybody fuck with you, I got your back.
Nice.
And then that was it.
That changes it, yeah.
Yeah, because I'm running up. He said, I just start running up on people.
You start the fight.
I started,
like,
you know, I was running up on people like, now. Fuck, like, hey.
I got Black now, so.
Yeah, and then it just changed. You get your few little people you hang with. And then, like, so. It's just a different version of that. And then you go to a town where it just happens all over again, you know. But, yeah, it's like you never go back. I remember walking on the basketball court. Some people was playing pickup, and the ball got loose. And I'm just walking through the court in the middle of that game, and I just grab the ball, and I just throw that shit.
Oh.
And they was like, that's just what he do.
If he wants to throw it, he throws
yeah,
it.
He gonna throw it. He like, come on, man.
That's Black's
friend.
Why
you do that? You know what I mean? But by this time, like, it was like, by the time I met Black, and it was so much going on, like, as far as being a loner, and like, I was dealing with my dad's schizophrenic situation, and then the crack that he was smoking on top of that. Like, I never would have sold if I didn't know he smoked. You know
oh,
what I mean?
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, so having to deal with that relationship falling apart changed my whole mindset as far as my grades slipping in school, going from an honor roll student to like part of me, like, you don't know what's gonna happen.
Yeah.
Cause the only reason I played ball so quickly and I got to a level to even join a team was the day I found out my dad smoked drugs. And that was the day I was like, I gotta do something.
Yeah.
You know, to get out this.
Yeah.
You know, cause my mom ain't doing too well, whatever. She already had a stroke by this time. So it's like, oh, shit, what can I do? You know? And that put that drive.
A fire in
you. Up. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you really hit school hard and hit whatever. But it was all anger-based.
Of course.
It was all like.
Everything I've ever done is anger-based.
Yeah, it's all. Yeah, it's all into a long time until you realize, like, oh, shit, this is detrimental in itself.
It's what makes
I haven't learned
comic
that yet.
Anger.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't
in
you
a
think,
sense.
Like, that underlining anger. The it way can you make work you, through it.
It can make you and break you just like anything.
True.
You know what I mean? Yeah, just like anything. Even the people who want power, the Me Too guys who wanted power just to do these crazy things.
Hmm.
That drive got them there, but it's also, you know, detrimental. So,
Like Harvey Weinstein, never got pussy, but suddenly it was like, I can get pussy if I just get powerful enough.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a version of that. You know what I mean?
First you get the power, then you get the money, then you get the pussy.
Yeah.
Is that how it goes? I forget. I just watched Scarface.
I was going to say, was that
first
Tony Montana?
The power. I can't do it.
The money, the power, then
the. First you get the money, then you get the power, yeah. Then you get the pussy. Yeah. That's a terrible way to say it, but it's pretty accurate.
It's a it's a version of that. It's a version of that because it's that whole respect thing, which thanks to like social media, you don't even need the money no more to get that.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
That's why Louis C.K. was so fucked up.
What?
He started getting the money, then he got the power, and then he just jerked off in front of pussy.
I think he was doing it before he got the money or the power.
Yeah.
He was jerking early.
It was a long time ago.
But it gives you the me and my lady was talking about it today. She thinks it's
I love the way you say my lady.
Yeah, she thinks it's a way of guys emasculating women.
Certainly.
When they want to pee on them and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like, no, some guys just got to pee on women. That's how they get off.
Yeah.
It ain't about emasculating.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah, they don't even go that far to even think about it.
That's
they just like, I got to do
aroused.
Yeah, I got to do this thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's why I'm going to pay this person the
to
amount of money because you just can't go and ask every chick in the club.
Can I be on you?
Yeah. And I'm like, and that's the motivation for some people to make money.
I can't remember who it was now. Someone goes to me. I don't know why peeing on women made me think of this. How'd you find out you were diabetic? I was like, I went into diabetic shock and went into the hospital. And they were like, oh. I'm like, why? And they're like, I just found out a friend of mine, he just found out he's diabetic. And the way he found out was he met this girl and she was like, hey, I want you to pee on me. And he was like, yeah, I don't know. That's kind of weird. And she was like, I really like it. And he was like, all right. So he was peeing on her and some pee got in her mouth. And she was like, are you diabetic? And he was like, what?
<It's> really sweet.
That's what
yeah.
She was like, your piss is way sweeter than any other piss I've ever tasted.
Damn.
So the dude was like, I don't know. So he got
nervous.
Checked it out.
Yeah.
And then sure enough, it was because there's so much sugar in his blood because he has unchecked diabetes.
I know
I'm like, that's way better than my story.
Yeah.
I know a chick found out she was pregnant like that.
From
really?
Being in somebody's mouth. They were like, are you pregnant?
That tastes like babies. I don't know if that's how exactly I went in my mind, though.
Patrice
he burped.
O'Neal.
He burped and like,
yeah,
it's
oh.
a boy. And I was like, he didn't.
Patrice O'Neal used to have a bit about, I think he had like
the cake or some shit.
Yeah, he said, he goes, you know you're diabetic when your pee tastes like birthday cake. I was like, that's so dumb.
But you know it's real. Like, that's the second person who said it. It tastes a certain way. So I'm like, this got to be one of those real
but
stories.
But I've heard it a million times, like in real doctor like real they say that like it's in there it is in your urine you can usually
oh, no,
tell
yeah. it is yeah. Well that and the,
but I just love that he made a birthday cake.
I was reading when I first got it I'm like reading all these books
the
about
best. It's so fucking good.
I'm reading all these books about diabetes just like how fucked up is my life now. They're like, you know, the first recognition of diabetes was in ancient Egypt and I'm like, what? And they said they didn't know what it was obviously, but they would know once you got to this point, you were basically dying. And what would happen is, because people just pissed, you know, and outside or whatever. There weren't bathrooms, obviously. But they started noticing, people would notice like, hey, every time I piss somewhere the next day, there's bugs all over the place. And there's just insects being attracted to all the sugar in the piss. And
now,
at that point, you were heading downhill.
What kind of sugar they were eating when they had diabetes? All the work they did.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
You would think they work it out. They're building pyramids.
Like, what kind
that's
of sugar,
not enough workout.
They didn't even have fructose corn syrup.
They didn't have the good shit.
That just spikes it quickly.
Type 1ers like myself.
And I'm just drinking this ginger beer and it's a dead seal on the front.
Ginger beer?
Yeah, that's what I'm drinking.
That's
it's sweet.
Amazing.
I've got a dead seal on the front.
Goslings. There you go. Yeah, I don't drink
you Irish
beer.
People.
Are you Irish? You got a little Irish in you?
I mean, my name's Celtic Welsh. So
that's all I heard
Welsh.
Of it earlier.
Yeah, that's different.
That's
I
old
like
school.
That.
You
yeah.
know what I mean? They got their own written language and everything that I know.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah.
I got a crest out there somewhere.
Damn.
As soon as I go to Scotland, that's the first thing I'm looking for.
You find your crest? Good for you.
Where's the Bowers family?
Where's the Bowers family crest?
I mean, someone showed me the Ingram family crest. I'm just like, man.
That's a real thing?
Yeah.
Do you think the Kerrigans have one?
Yep. For sure.
Yeah.
There's No question, the Kerrigan.
Yeah, that's definitely one. You can look that up right now.
Yeah.
You definitely can.
Let's Google
Siri.
This.
Know that
I
one.
I feel like ours is broken or something. Like we.
It's just what animal is on the front. That's the most important part. Like what is actually on the front? Because Bowers is the maker of bows.
Okay.
The bow makers. So it's going to be bows on there, and then Byron that is of the cottage.
Maybe
so. I'm like, damn, the people who owned us was poor. The name is a poor name.
Yeah, yeah.
Of the cottage and bow makers.
Yeah, I typed in Kerrigan and F, and the second thing that pops up is Kerrigan family crest.
If you ours is probably someone stabbing someone on the front, like because we're angry people.
Oh shit, you got crows.
See,
get the fuck out of here.
You know what? That's them weird. Because that's what my dad's killing.
Yeah,
he's killing us. I tell my dad about the crows.
Shit, you got the three crows.
What?
Oh, shit, three crows.
What? Send that to Pops. Hey, man, stop killing these birds, man.
I told him, I go, Dad, those are crows, and crows have good memory. Like, they remember shit. They'll come back for you. They're going to come back and get you. Like,
wait, hold on. You were questioning the roaches earlier, and now you know?
No, the crows, though. I couldn't pick a roach like that, but...
Yeah.
Maybe a possum.
Ooh, what if somebody got roaches on their family, Chris? Oh, wouldn't that be
the shittiest family ever? Oh, we got roaches. Yeah, well.
Who showed the battle with that?
I was going to say, that's the Stansberry. That's the PJ Stansberry crest. Oh, the Stansberries. Huh. Look at that. Just a bunch of roaches, man. Yeah, yeah. Well, we're going to keep surviving.
Can you imagine that army showing up with them roaches on their sewn into their thing?
What is that? Is that a wolf? No, that's not a wolf. They're waving the roach flag.
What kind of bug is that? That a water bug?
We'll survive. You know we'll survive.
Yeah, they can never die, though. They'll outlive us all.
Yeah.
That's true.
Easily.
So when you started doing stand-up, was it in... Atlanta, was it?
Yeah,
it
was in Atlanta.
LA?
Yeah, okay. It was in Atlanta. At college, the first time I got on stage for a talent show. Yeah.
Everybody does talent shows. How did you do?
Oh, it was decent because it was hosting a talent show.
Oh, okay.
So I was hosting it with another friend of mine I went to college with who wanted to do stand-up also.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, he made it easy.
And does he still do stand-up, that person?
No, he's an engineer, yeah.
He's an engineer. He went the other way.
He went the other way.
Your crest is way better than mine. Mine's got three fucking seashells. What kind of bullshit is that?
I gotta get my Kerrigan crest.
I'm feeling terrible now.
You got hit with a seashell.
Yeah.
A seashell.
I mean, I'm picturing those crows just picking the fucking seashell.
As they come down to help us, my dad's shooting them. They're like, what are you, Dad? You're ruining everything. It's terrible.
You see the colors, though?
Yeah.
The black crows with the red and black.
Yeah, I kind of like that, the black and red. I'm gonna get a jacket.
That could be a football team logo. You know that, right?
I would do that.
Look how much better Byron's is than ours.
Uh-oh. Let's see this Celtic.
It's got fucking crazy lions and a
flamboyant
dove on it.
Whoa, most flamboyant.
He's mixing worlds, reds and blues.
It's a green one, too, though.
Yeah, I saw that, too.
The bow, that one got the bows on it.
The bows and the arrows.
Yeah. Yeah.
So why do you get two?
Look, man, there's a lot of infidelity amongst the Bowers clan.
Okay.
You know what I mean? It's like the Freemasons. You got a Scottish Rite, you got a York Rite. I don't know if you know that.
Yeah, I know.
So that's probably the same thing. And the color's similar. When
Saxon origin. Bowers. The surname Bowers is of Saxon origin.
Uh-oh.
Did you know that?
Well, I did some type of National Geographic DNA swab, and it was like Cro-Magnon. I'm like, where the fuck?
Really?
My strongest genes are Cro-Magnon gene, and I'm like, that ain't black at all. That's straight caveman.
Yeah, I was gonna say that's some caveman
that's
large
straight,
brow
that's
shit.
Some OG
that's
shit.
Straight
that's
Euro,
what that is.
European frozen land.
Yeah,
ooh. Nigga with a fur on. You know. I was talking on stage. I had some shit on similar to what I got on now.
This, by the way, you have to see this jacket in full effect.
I was just
it noticed. Was sent from Africa.
When I sat down, I noticed that it went up behind the head. I'm like, he's a cobra right now.
Hey,
it's amazing. It's
black
little
Sith
these
Lord.
Pins. It's
Sith Lord.
The nerd sneaks out.
I had on like I had a blanket or something wrapped around. And people was looking at it weird, and I was on stage, and I was like, I'm the nigga
I remember.
I'm the nigga who show up that the hunter, and they like, he brought us food, and I'm like, food, bitch, I'm wearing this tiger I got on. This shit go. Y'all ain't finna eat this. Yeah, you know I mean, I killed this to wear.
I've seen you on stage in like the most bizarre outfit, and you never mention it. You just do your shit. You're doing your jokes, and like, I'm looking at him like, please. Please, no. Put the elephant that's on your neck in the room. Yeah. Let's talk about it. Like, no,
it's
never do.
It's important not to.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm the worst dresser ever. It's always just a t-shirt and jeans.
Yeah, you have no creativity.
None.
Like this man here.
One time, though, I wore, back when I was a drinker, we were at Funston's, okay. And oh. He had a Nintendo Power Glove just sitting on the ground.
He's so sexy.
I was like, oh, I'm wearing that tonight. So I just put it on, and I wore it all night, and I wore it on stage. People just kept looking at my hand like, what the fuck? Is that a Nintendo Power Glove? I just didn't address it. It felt so good.
Yeah, that's the thing. It don't even hit me that I'm wearing crazy shit until, like, I'm doing these bits. I'm like, man, these shit ain't landing. And I'm like, oh, like, sometimes when I go to the improv and I get on, and I say, what's up? Nobody speaks. And I'm like, what the fuck wrong with these people?
Yeah.
And then that's when I'm like, oh, yeah, I got this crazy shit on. They're like, ah. And then I go right into whatever I'm
wearing. Okay, he knows he's wearing it. That's okay. Yeah.
Davey Wester used to be like, I'm not going to talk about it. I'm like, I think you should mention it.
Yeah, otherwise, you should mention it.
Otherwise, people think you're retarded.
You got to mention that shit.
And then his bit started being, first of all, I'm not retarded, motherfuckers. I got cerebral palsy. And I'm like, well played.
Yeah,
I just remember telling him, like, people think you're retarded, so I'm not retarded. And then once he says, everyone's like, okay, he's not retarded. Good news. He's just got white trash cerebral palsy.
Hey, that's
in
crazy.
That order.
That's crazy, though, ain't it?
I know.
It's like when I seen an Asian retarded person for the first time, and I was like, damn, I didn't even know they made
that special. Yeah,
in Asian.
I didn't know they made
that. That's how ignorant I was. I was like, damn.
Yeah.
I was in Israel, and I went to McDonald's.
Okay.
And I don't know if you know, Israeli people are smart as fuck.
Oh, yeah.
They hyper smart. I'm in McDonald's, right? And the food is horrible. I keep taking it back. And I'm like, this ain't y'all thing. And I look in the back, and there's a cross-eyed nigga in the back. And I was like, oh, shit. Y'all got them here, too?
Yep. Everywhere.
I was shocked they got a McDonald's.
Yeah.
I was shocked they had
America's
McDonald's.
America's everywhere.
But they get cross-eyed. They make it. No, it was Israeli. I'm sorry. I just call everybody niggas. I'm sorry.
Oh, he was Israeli. Oh,
yeah,
I see what you're saying.
Israeli,
oh,
yeah. Okay, he was Israeli. I'm like, damn, y'all got him here, too. Yeah,
I thought you meant like a poor black guy in the back. That's cross-eyed. You're like, you have black guys.
Ethiopian.
Yeah.
Yeah, the black people they definitely look at me weird. I was in this hotel, and I was getting a massage, because that's what my lady liked to do. I'm not bragging. It's hard to talk about these things because I'm not
street cred out the window.
I don't really enjoy
massages.
Yeah, I'm getting massages.
Massage?
But I don't enjoy them as much because I slept with my babysitter, so every time they touch me, I feel a little weird.
Did you sleep with your babysitter because you wanted to, or did she take advantage of you?
I knew what sex was, and we was in the back room, and it went down. So once...
Ooh.
It was like anytime once you like get ready to go, you go. You know, sometimes.
Yeah, like, I feel like a guy is like, oh, okay.
Yeah, it was one of those things. Like you already knew what to do because I knew it. Like my family, a hypersexual family, so you already knew what it was.
Right.
You know, my dad would just take me to the mall with him, and he'd be like, run up to that lady, and then when she find me, he'll run up like, oh, you found my son. He said I was hating on him one time, like, not again. I would say shit like that.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. He would use you as a prop.
Man, he was, that was his thing. And I remember him, we'd leave in the mall. He's like, you'll understand one day. You know.
So run up to that lady.
Do you use kids to get to?
No.
That's crazy.
Because even if I have a baby with my lady, I pretty much probably be that with that person. You know what I mean?
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're the change.
Trust issues.
Yeah.
I need that solid thing, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, man, like, I knew what it was, and then it went down, and it was a thing. And when it happened a few more times, it was a book involved with different sexual positions.
Holy shit.
Kama Sutra.
Is she a lot older than you?
I don't think so. I think maybe, like, two to four years, maybe. I don't know.
Okay.
But I know I went to the fourth grade immediately after that.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
The fourth
I moved to Atlanta and I had to deal with the bullying and shit. And then at like,
you're like, man, I'm
and then
my
I had a reputation. No, because I had a reputation that I was scared of pussy. Cause I never would do. I remember this chick was over the house and like everybody was fucking her. And I ain't fucking. I was watching Rocky IV and they was like, this nigga scared of pussy. But I knew
but
it was,
Rocky IV was good. Rocky IV
was good. Rocky
IV
was good. And
I mean, that's the only one. It's not about race wars. It's about destroying the Soviet Union.
Yeah, that's true.
And we can all get behind that.
Yeah. Right.
Even though I know Rocky is retarded.
Hey.
And one of the worst movies of all time. Rocky IV.
How great is Rocky?
I mean, the movies I saw was dope.
Just Rick like
he talked a little slow, but I was like, that's just what it was. You know what I mean?
He was born paralyzed on the left side of his face.
Well, he should wear that sign on his necklace, on his big ass gold necklace. Don't blame me because I ain't know.
So you watch.
It's like the first time you laugh at somebody with something and they be like, you're not supposed to laugh at them. It's like, I'm too late. I'm already laughing. You know what I mean? And the fact that you're telling me not to laugh makes it even more funny.
No, yep. I've had a crush on
Rocky.
Sylvester Stallone for a very long time. My brothers used to torture me with Rocky. Like, they'll do that commercial on repeat. In the morning, I splash it on because it makes me smell manly. Like, they would do it on repeat to piss me off.
You know, though, when you see old pictures of them, I get it, though.
Yeah.
And I grew up with a single mom, so people that she was like, oh, like she had, like, Tom Cruise and, like, these different various people. I wouldn't even know who they was if it wasn't for her.
Oh, what do you mean?
Mom was crushing on him.
Yeah. Okay.
She could get down with some Rocky Sly Stallone, it sounds like.
Yeah, my Stallone. Anyway, so you're watching Rocky IV.
Yeah, I'm watching Rocky
Not
IV.
Not fucking pussy.
And dudes was like, one dude would be, she'd be on the ground, her legs was open. One guy would be just in her, just moving. You know how, like, young kids, hunch, they don't know what they're doing.
Yeah.
And then another guy just grab him, like, nigga, it's my turn. He'd throw it all, and he'll get on, and he'll start moving.
Jesus, this doesn't seem.
And I wasn't like, and then, mind you, I started.
So many more gangbangs.
Yeah.
I started so different. You know what I mean? With like a quiet, sneaky room and don't tell nobody. And here go these books.
Oh, interesting.
So that was just like weird. And I knew what a condom was for some weird reason. So I knew that wasn't safe. Because I had to talk with my mom after the fact. Like, this is like, okay. I wasn't living with my mom at the time. You know, I was living with my grandma. And then my mom got us back and then gave us the sex talk.
Okay.
And then we was putting water in them book condoms and throwing them out the fucking off the balcony.
Water.
Condom balloons.
That's when they were slippery. You know, condoms had all that grease on it and shit. You know?
Like a little French tickler.
It will pop
grease
on the sink and splash on you. What the fuck? It's me and my sister. You know,
pre-lubed.
Me and my little sister. Yeah, so.
The pre-lubed condom.
They was all the colors and shit. It was generic. And then,
that's hilarious.
So I knew what that was, so I didn't do it. And then I had a reputation for a few years that I was scared of pussy. And then I moved to a different apartment complex that apparently rivaled with the apartment complex that I just moved from.
Okay.
Which them dudes end up just punching me for that. You know what I mean?
Oh my God. Yeah. No wonder why you're a comic. You're a mess.
I don't know if I'm a mess, but you definitely
not
like,
a mess. I mean, like, you went through some shit.
It puts you in the realm of, like, walking around dolo.
Right.
While you skateboard. Then I went through a skateboard and BMX bike phase for a while.
But it's...
What? Yeah. Now I'm confused.
I love that.
Yeah. When I got
to
this
apartment.
It's like
you tried everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, you did. Yeah. And that's basically, like, now that I see how the way I live my life, I'm like, oh, it makes sense. You know, just bouncing around from place to place.
But that just means you're open to everything. So when you move or you get moved around, it doesn't hold you back. You're like, oh, I can figure out how to live in this or whatever. Like, you can live in any situation, it seems like.
Yeah, I went to this pyramid, the Teotihuacan pyramid, and they did a ceremony. And my Aztec zodiac is the lizard, the dude told me. And he's like, the lizard is the person that can get his tail chopped off and he can get up
and
still keep going. And he's like, he live in different environments. He shift colors.
Yeah.
And blend in.
The chameleon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I won't forget, you know what I mean? And then he was like, my girl is the tornado.
Okay.
So she go in and wreck shit. But I look what she's doing to the industry right now.
Well, she's Israeli, right?
She's Israeli, but she created this.
Rick married an Israeli as well.
Yeah.
Yep. We were talking about it the other day.
It's crazy.
Didn't even know. You know what I mean? So.
Y'all two got smart women. Strong. Yeah. Tornado. They be wrecking
doing better
shit.
Than us.
Doing better than us. And we constantly got to like. We got to be supportive.
I might switch teams and try to get an Israeli lady.
Ooh.
Why, hey, why not?
Nice.
I've been with the Israeli guys.
That could be easier. That could be easier said than done. Because I've been to Israeli, and you know what? Not that much of a difference. Mm. Every chick I seen, I was like, they could be gay.
You can't tell. You mean?
Listen, they don't serve in the military.
Yeah, they serve
and
in
shit.
The military. Yeah,
you have to.
There's
yeah.
a lot of.
Yeah, they don't wear. They don't. It was. I didn't see that many like women with like heels and
girly girls.
Yeah, girly girls out there. Yeah. It was all like focus. Women. Yeah, focused yeah. at getting shit done. They don't have the mentality of like where I'm from is like a woman kind of had a mentality like I'm looking for a husband to take care of me. And, you know, that,
sure.
Yeah, they don't have that shit at all.
I didn't have
that's most great. Of America. Is, yeah. That becomes the mentality. It's like, you got to go to college because that's where you're going to meet a guy. I was like, wait, that's what? Why we're telling them to go to college?
Yeah.
I never got that memo.
Wow.
My mom was like, look, I can't, if you want to go to college, fine. I can't afford
just
it.
Just do it. It's on your own. Yeah.
It's on you, bitch. And whatever. So and it's up to us.
That's the thing. You like, oh, this, and that was the thing. That's how you end up selling drugs in college or whatever because. The basketball thing, you're like, oh, this ain't going to work. And,
right.
you know, you're just trying to figure out how you're going to do something. Your classes are failing. Next thing you know, you writing lyrics down. In the,
you're rapping. You're then you got in a talent something. Show. Then yeah. you came. When did you come to L.A.?
I did comedy for 3 years in Atlanta before I got to L.A. I got to the point where I was in the clubs and I was hosting, but they wouldn't let me feature.
Oh, okay.
They was like, nah, people bring their features from New York or L.A. Because they would cut my time, and they'd be like, this ain't your show. And I got to the point where I was killing, you know. Mm-hmm. At first, I was bombing.
Yeah.
And then this comedian, Ron G, was like, you should do white rooms. He crossed me over.
Yeah.
And I started killing in these rooms, right?
Yeah.
And then...
They laugh out of guilt.
Well, they got... No, sarcasm. Sarcasm.
Of course.
Yeah.
When black people, they didn't like... When I say I'm about to kill everybody in this bitch... They thought I was serious.
I was like, oh my God.
You know what I mean?
She
might murder the crowd literally.
Yeah, so, you know, I just started moving up and working. Like, I got in the Punchline like in a year and a half. You know what I mean?
It's a great club.
And then, I couldn't get past that. And they was like, yeah, they bringing people from New York to L.A. Because I was like, why they making double my money? But I'm killing them, you know what I mean? And I was like, well, I got to go get my money.
Right.
Who knew it was just $150, but I'm still like, I was making $50. They getting $150, and I was like, I got to go get that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they was like, most people like, man, fuck L.A. It's all this and that. And they was like, damn, why L.A. kicking these people out? And I left. I ended up leaving. It took 3 years to get out of there.
And when did you come here first to the Comedy Store, or where did you go first?
Well, I visited New York and L.A., and I landed on L.A.,
okay. So you chose L.A. over New York.
I chose L.A. over New York.
Yep.
Because I saw a homeless person outside. And it was the sun hit him, and he had the most beautiful red hair ever. Oh. And I'm like, this is the worst it can get. Then I'd rather be here. You know what I mean?
Somebody just said that to me. Like, if you're going to be homeless, why not do it in L.A.?
Yeah. And that was the...
We do have the best. We have the best homeless people in the
true.
World. Yeah.
Most of them are comics here.
Yeah, I mean, that's how it was. I came in 08.
Oh, yeah.
So that's when motherfuckers was sleeping in the club.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I slept on Ron G's floor in his living room for a year, and all his other roommates were mad.
Oh,
they was
I
like,
bet.
What the fuck is he still just doing here? He not got no job or nothing.
Ron's a hustler, too.
Yeah, I mean, Ron, when I got here, Ron was on Last Comic Standing.
Okay.
You know, and Ron was the guy who came to L.A., and because we both visited L.A. the first time. We went to Vegas. But he came to L.A. and then he was like, I'm moving to L.A. And then I came to visit when it was before I decided to move out here. But Ron was the guy who came to L.A. in like 2 months. He was on the beach. And somebody was like, you got an agent? He was like, nah. And they was like, I should rep you. And he was like, okay. And then he went out for his first audition and booked a campaign for a commercial.
Wow.
That paid him.
Decent
like
money.
2 years, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that was his story. And then I had the other story where I was in his living room floor for a year. Then I had to go from that to my car.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. And then
Byron sounds, I'm just now understanding, he was originally Black Sheezer.
Right.
Because I had a buddy who came out, but his story is a little different. He was like, hey, you care if I come out and visit? I'm like, sure. And then after, like, towards the end of a week, I'm like, when do you have to go to the airport? And he's like, well, I didn't get a ticket. I'm like,
he just stayed.
Oh, this dude is staying. You probably know John. Do you know John Cheezer?
Oh, yeah.
Dude used to work here.
Oh, yeah. No, it wasn't that bad. They knew I was coming. They knew I was coming.
The plan was to stay.
But I built my car before. I had two accidents before I was supposed to come.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. The day I was supposed to come, I kept getting in these car accidents, like in November.
Okay.
And then, it cost me like 2 years. And then I was like, fuck it, I'm finally getting out of here. So I built the car myself and drove it across country, me and my ex, you know what I mean?
Oh, my God.
And I was engaged at the time when I moved out here and slept on the dude's floor. So that was crazy to her.
Damn. Yeah.
She's like, how are we going to get a house? And
I went home, got married, and came back.
Whoa.
Yeah, and was did the car thing and then what I learned about sleeping in my car is I could live in anywhere.
Absolutely.
In the city. So I moved to Hollywood where the houses is, Hollywood Boulevard,
mm-hmm.
and from Inglewood, and it was just pleasant. People were jogging when I woke up in the morning.
Yeah.
Like, they nobody bothered me. I would go to that coffee bean, the same coffee bean where I saw the homeless dude sleep outside. That's where I washed up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So shout out to Neil Brennan. I caught him in a coffee shop one day. I was like, I ain't got nowhere to stay. He let me crash for 2 days.
Aww.
Yeah, you know what I mean? So,
Neil's a good guy.
This sounds like crashing only entertaining.
Yeah, that's hilarious. that journey was interesting.
Crashing.
That journey was interesting, man. And it was crazy that marriage was crazy because I don't talk about it a lot, but yeah, my lady parents been married. They still married. And her mom don't work, and her dad works. So subconsciously, she from a different.
Yeah.
She got expectations.
Absolutely.
And my parents were never married, so I'm the thing of like, man, I look at a relationship like, if I'm here, then it's working, regardless of what's going on. Like, if I'm here every day, then that got to be something, right? So I'm learning from scratch.
So you got married. Did you get divorced? I mean,
yeah, I got divorced, yeah.
Oh, shit. That's a lot.
I got divorced the day my lady left. She drove off in a U-Haul and on Serrano, and she made a left on 9th Street. I got passed at a comedy store.
You're kidding. Who passed you?
Tommy.
Okay, you had a showcase for Tommy.
And it wasn't even a thing of like, it wasn't even a thing of that.
Byron is one of the good ones.
Wait a minute, Tommy. That's racist. Okay.
Yeah. You know what made me come to the store?
What?
Because, Black Comics was like, don't go up there. Like, they racist. They don't pass Black Comics.
That's crazy.
And I was like, racist? He's like, yeah, they be saying nigga and everything. And I was like, oh, shit. I'm used to that.
That was what they said about Tommy? He uses the N-word.
Yeah, they were like, it's racist. Like, I heard they be calling Black people niggas and stuff. And I was like, oh, I'm from the South. I'm like, that's just a word.
Good for you.
I'm like, that's just... Yeah, I'm like, that fuck with you.
You walked in, Tommy immediately said it, and you were like, I'm home.
This is hilarious. You know what's crazy? Even though I already said some things up here, I know he said fag. You know what I mean?
Sure. Oh, yeah.
But he never said nothing like that.
To you.
To me. And it's crazy. Because I was telling somebody, like, when even in the South, if you don't react to certain things, it's not, they can't use it.
Yeah. Certain people can't use it that way. Yeah.
So they got to come at you. They try other stuff, like calling people faggots and stuff.
Tomorrow,
and still like,
tomorrow I'm going to call Byron a faggot, see if that works. Aww. I'm just trying to bully him.
Nah, that ain't going to work.
He makes it through 3 insults he's in.
That ain't going to work. You know what I mean? If you ain't putting no gun out or saying other stuff. I got other triggers, but that's not it. So. Yeah.
Interesting. I like that.
Yeah, I got other triggers, but that's not it. So.
Yeah, because he could be crazy, but I hate when people say the Comedy Store is racist because Mitzi passed everyone funny, period. Like,
right.
There was no, okay, no, we already have 2 blacks, or we already have. Whereas Tommy, I would hear him say, we already have this kind of black. And I'm like, I don't think that's a thing.
Yeah.
Like, but he had his own bizarre agenda. So that was freaky to hear. But your style of comedy is so different that I think you would be impressed by it.
Well, it was weird because he would tell me about these things about beats. And he was like, most of these guys got rhythm to their sets. Like, it's just dun 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 bah.
Work on your beats.
That
was a classic Tommy thing. Was you got to work on your beats.
But then he's
people
like,
be like, what?
And he was like, your shit is everywhere.
Yeah, exactly.
He's like, one of your jokes is like, bah, da. And then the next one is punchline, then set up last. Yeah. And then he's like, but I guess that's who you are. But he would just put me in these weird spots, I guess, until I try to become something.
Well, just to figure out where you, yeah.
Yeah. And the whole city is like that to me. Agents and all that treat me like that. It's like, oh, you know, we gonna shuffle. We don't know what to do. And he's a little too much for this market and all this stuff. But it's like, the more they do that, the stronger I become. Like, almost, it's like, oh, I get a sense of who I am. Cause I'm like, damn, I just went through this in high school, all over again. You know what I mean? Like, I ain't make friends, so I didn't give a fuck no more.
Yeah,
that's how. Because
the dad shit started happening, so. You become like a loose. I became a loose cannon. Like, fuck everything, and then everybody kicked in, and you become like this wild and popular person.
That's how it
don't matter no more. You know what I mean?
My mom had breast cancer when I was in middle school, and I went from just being like the quiet nerd to just the fucking lunatic who just didn't care.
Yeah.
And suddenly everyone was like, "He's all right."
Yeah.
And then I was like the funny guy. And everyone was like, "Rick's cool." And I'm like, "How did I become cool? Just because I told you to fuck off?" Actually, that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
You know what Black told me he liked about me? He was like, you never tried to fit in. He was like, when I seen you, you was always doing your own thing. He's like, I could never do that.
Yeah.
He's like, I always was trying to hang out with people and fit in. So.
Blend or something.
Yeah. Earn respect. Yeah.
He was like, that's what it is. You know what I mean? And he was like, I gave you a ride home because you didn't have no car. You know, these guys, they dad's mechanics, so they getting cars at 16. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he was like, school was an hour away. And he was like, when I gave you a ride home, then I sat and I talked to you. Because before, I was like, who this square-ass nigga? You know, because me and Black hung out like 10th grade. We went to elementary school together.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? So that's how long he seen me around. And he was like, I finally talked to you. And then that's when it was like, oh, shit, this motherfucker's solid, you know?
Yeah.
So that's how it is. Sometimes just a long process with anything. You know, consistency sometimes, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Started, got here, and then just slowly.
She left and you got passed.
Slowly left. It was
the opening to everything.
My life is like that. Good news, bad news. Good news, bad news.
You know, I can't get enough of.
I got Montreal just for last.
Right after that?
I'm like a few years later, but my mom called 2 hours later and was like, you should go back to school.
Oh. After you got JFL? Wow.
And couldn't tell her what it was because it even.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean anything.
Didn't mean anything.
People doesn't mean anything business, to anybody.
They don't understand.
When you went to Just for Laughs, how did you get anything out of it? I mean,
to me, I did because I was already on. Before that, I got like top like 10 funniest comics in LA, so I was already on the upswing.
Yeah.
And I already showcased for him like 4 times, but I didn't get like show deals.
That's what I mean. Yeah.
Yeah, like some guys I know got, what's that show I don't watch? I don't know, Saturday Night Live. Yeah, people was getting Saturday Night Live. Like Pete Davidson them got.
Okay.
And Brooks Wheeling got like Saturday Night Live. And then they tried to send me into the writing path. So I got some writing stuff, but nothing too like, crazy for me. You know what I mean? I got a lot of.
Go, cause I'm next.
Oh, yeah.
They told
I just
you
got
that?
I just got a text.
I'm after you, so I'm like, I'm looking now. Where you at, the main room?
I'm in the main room.
Oh, yeah. I got to go to OR like at 7:45. So,
right,
it's like, I got a little, I got enough to like sustain me, but
yeah.
I don't think the industry what they wanted, which was TV.
But you do TV. You're on The Shy. It's great.
I mean, look how long it takes. That's after they.
Oh, yeah, I guess that's right.
They was pushing me toward network. But if you listen to my set, I'm not network.
Mm-mm.
So I'm going in these rooms. And like I said, I had to finish developing, find my voice. So everything I got to me is because of everything I've done. And all the doors have been shut for me to find what I was searching for as an artist. That makes sense.
Yeah, it does. But you're so perfect for the Shy because it's a bizarre character.
Yeah.
And it's so you. Have you seen it? Have you seen him? Oh, my God. My brother Jimmy, I can't even get over it, that he watches this. He's obsessed with it. And I told him I know you. And he's like, no, that guy's the best with the peanut butter sandwich. And I'm like, that's hilarious. If that's what you remember. But yes, that's great.
Now I'm intrigued. All I know is you are on it and there's a peanut butter sandwich involved.
But he's so funny. Like, I mean, because it's such a bizarre kind of fucked up situation that he's in. And it's
my lane.
Yeah.
And when I'm in
that place,
I've sat in those places before.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you know what I mean? So, like, when they would call cut and everybody would leave, I would just sit in there. Because it reminded me of a place I used to work when I was in college, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's like, damn, you know.
It's weird. It's like, it's reality for you, but then it's not. It's, you know.
And then have family on trial at the same time. Like, and I remember telling my cousin, like, you know, you got to get out of this situation, too. Because my dad and my aunt did drugs. So his mom did it.
Oh, shit.
And I was like, you got to get out of this situation. And he did what he had to do.
Yeah.
But he didn't have the opportunity to do this thing.
Right. Yeah.
So I felt a responsibility.
But you're the change.
A little bit.
You're the change.
Feel responsible, but I'm feeling responsible even for like him even going this way sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, damn, I didn't tell him specifically what to not do, you know what I mean?
Right, but
whatever you got to do, you got to get out of this fucking town, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
But I didn't be like, hey, you should do this, but you know, I put them in better situations to think. Like I took him to Japan with us.
There you go.
I took him to Mexico. I took him on his first international trip to see how people think differently, and just to show him like it's like money.
Show him that there's more out there.
Yeah, because this thing, he more business minded.
Yeah.
So I'm like, you can move way faster than me the way you think. But look at the type of money that people are getting like this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And that's the problem with people. They stay in what they're accustomed to. They don't venture out. And nobody shows them a way out.
Well, he had the first black hair salon. He was starring. He just had a son 3 months old.
Oh,
like
wow.
He was all, his foot was already out. That trial was old. It just caught up to him.
Yeah. I guess so. Huh?
Yeah, that's the thing.
But that's what I'm saying. It's like that once you feel you're out, they pull you back in.
Yeah.
That's exactly
that's
what
it,
that
man.
Means.
So that's the life, though. That's the what makes, that's why I said like the time I wanted to almost end my life, because you get out and then it's a low after that.
Mm-hmm.
It's a low, you know what I mean? Because like, oh, I done did the school thing. I done been good. And these things keep happening, so like, what am I supposed to do now? And then I went to corporate after that, and that wasn't too hot either.
Oh, I don't know how you did that. I don't know how you did corporate. That's the craziest.
That one messed me up. I still got scars from that.
I get it. I had like a regular day job, and I it was brutal. But corporate is too deep.
Well, I mean, everything's corporate. Everything.
Yeah, but if you're in that kind of work field, like I was working at a furniture store and it was corporate, but I wasn't in the corporate, like I was just some idiot that was answering the phones and fucking things up.
Look, man, yeah, I, look. So, yeah, that's a whole different ball game.
I love it.
Well, I still got issues to get over from those years.
You have to. I mean, we get issues from, kind of, don't we?
In a sense.
Yeah.
You got those weird scars.
Keeps with you.
It shape you.
Mm-hmm.
But I was working that job when 9/11 happened. So I was already like unhappy, like, and then that happened and I was like, damn, you know.
It's so fucking weird. I was here when 9/11 happened, working as a waitress at the Comedy Store. I wasn't a comic yet. And I remember when it was the craziest, most bizarre thing. And my best friend is from New York, and she was calling me. She's like, I can't get in touch with my family. And I was like, why? Why are you calling me this early? Like, I don't know why I answered the phone, but I did. And because it was like 6 o'clock our time, L.A. time.
Yeah.
And she's like, you don't know what's happening? And I go, why would I know what's happening? Like, I just got home from waitressing at 4 in the morning. This is my REM cycle, you know, like I just answered the phone thinking, I always think of my family. They call the wrong hours.
That's the thing, yeah.
So but it was her screaming about this. And then I came here because I was Mitzi's assistant, and she made us put on the marquee, wow. That's all she put, wow. And I was like, bitch, we can't. We just say nothing at that point. But she She made them climb up the ladder and put "Wow" on the marquee, and I was like, that's not a good idea, but whatever. Everybody handled it different.
Yeah, I sat in the van the whole day.
It's the weirdest thing, right?
Yeah.
That's crazy. Is he next? Is that why you're looking at me? Oh, okay.
Okay.
All right. So, first of all, you're one of my top favorite comics here. I'm saying that as Rick left.
Thank you.
Because, seriously, people need to come and see you live. Like, are you touring? What are you doing?
Man, I feel stagnant right now. I've been doing a lot of acting lately. So, I think, I feel like it's a quiet before the storm. Like, it's either going to go bad or it's going
to shoot
straight
up. Well, then they have to get
up
to L.A. to see you. Yeah. Because if he's in your city, honestly, go see him. You will not regret it.
Thank you. Yeah.
You're phenomenal. And I love that you're here and that you work with us. You're one of the best.
I appreciate it, man.
Sorry, I'm kissing your ass, but because I'm obsessed.
Thank you. No.
And I get like that, like waiting tables here. I waited tables here for 12 years. So I watched every comic you could think of. And it's hard for me to be impressed with comics, even still. And so, like, a lot of comics will be like, oh, does Eleanor think he's funny? Because I'm, like, terrible.
I'm too honest.
I'm like, they're trying. You know, I can't fake it. So there's very few. And Rick's one of my favorites, too. He knows that, but.
He's a beast. And I go up after Rick. And
it's hard, right?
I never regretted it when I'm on an 8 o'clock show anywhere.
That's true.
Never regret it. It makes you stronger.
Absolutely.
What they say is right. You follow the strong person.
A
lot of people don't want to follow certain people, and you're like, that's who I need.
Who you want to follow.
Yeah. And then once it builds you, you become your own entity, and then you can follow. You learn how to follow anything.
You can work anywhere in the world.
You learn how to follow. And I pretty much started work a lot of places. And that's what it is now, you know.
It's true. Well, have a kick-ass set. Thank you so much for doing this. I greatly appreciate it. Guys, check out Byron Bowers. Are you on the – when does the next season of Shy start?
Oh, they're filming it now.
Filming it now. Okay. So look out for that or check out season one. It's so good. Everybody in that show is great, including you. And come to the Comedy Store. See live comedy. Rick and I are here for the next couple weeks. And then I can't think of my dates. Just go to my website.
Go to the website, ByronBowersLive.com, at Byron Bowers on social media.
There you go. And your Twitter, all that?
Yep.
Instagram, same thing?
Instagram is better than Twitter.
Yeah. And rate and subscribe to the podcast. Rate us. Talk shit. Don't talk shit. Say good things, bad things. We don't care. We just want to hear you. All right. Thank you guys for listening.
Thank you.